Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
It's been kind of interesting to read everyone's take on Jeremy Pruitt and how surprised they are that he kind of killed it.
Yeah, and that's obviously going to be the first thing that I learned. Is we had that conversation yesterday. Don asked, hey, what do you expect from Jeremy Pruitt tomorrow? And I didn't know the answer, but if I was having to guess, my guess was that he wouldn't say much, that he would want to get in, get out, and get back to Knoxville. And he may have wanted to get in, get out, and get back to Knoxville, but he didn't act that way. And he came across polished and comfortable in the media session in different rooms, whether it was the main room. Had somebody say to me, I would have really lost a lot of money if there was a bet on the table of over under 10.5 minutes for his opening comments in the big main room. And I would have too. I would have hopped on there for sure on that bet. So he was comfortable. I thought he was he had a good answer talking about how he will do handling the position of being the head coach at Tennessee. He joked around. He told stories. So I thought that Tennessee was a winner today because of how Jeremy Pruitt carried himself through a lot of the day at media day.
All right, since you went ahead and began down that path, three things Josh Ward learned at SEC media days. Number one, polished Pruitt. We'll come back to some more Tennessee stuff in just a bit. What is the second thing you learned today, Josh?
Well, I think I learned even more why Mississippi State hired Joe Moorhead. And I think we all knew that he was very well thought of as an offensive coach. Look at what he had done going from Fordham, where he had been a head coach, to the offense coordinator position at Penn State, and look at what they were able to do. Look at that production and how successful they were with Saquon Barkley at running back, Trace McSorley at quarterback. But I don't know how much people know about Joe Moorhead, and that includes the media that were there today. And media members were raving about how he carried himself and the personality. So that says to me that Joe Moorhead said, look at my resume. I can coach. I can put together an offensive game plan. I've been a head coach lower level at Fordham, but I've still been in that position. But he was able to sell himself as well. So a lot of the attention's on Jimbo Fisher as a first-year coach in the SEC with all of his success, on Jeremy Pruitt being at a big school like Tennessee, on Dan Mullen leaving to go to Florida. But Joe Moorhead, I think, impressed today as well. He has a chance to have success. I mean, now think about all that Dan Mullen did at Mississippi State. Usually this time of year, we would still pick Mississippi State sixth or seventh in the West, even though we knew that Dan Mullen would likely do a good job. But because of what he's left behind, Joe Moorhead, I think, is going to have a team that's picked somewhere in the middle of the pack of the SEC West. And there'll be a lot of people saying, hey, they can be third in the West, which we wouldn't even say with Dan Mullen's team. So I think Joe Moorhead sold a lot of people today.
He was asked if he had a welcome to the South moment. He said, quote, walking out the door each day and getting hit in the face by the humidity, that and everything being wrapped in bacon, end quote. Ultimately, I mean, that has nothing to do with whether or not you can coach a football game or team. But certainly, I think we got to look into his personality and understand how he got that job.
Could help him recruit. And you have to recruit to win in the SEC. And you have to recruit hard. And so far, I think he's done a pretty good job early on in Starkville on the recruiting trail. So it's not an easy job, and it's never going to be a better job than Alabama or Auburn or LSU in the West, probably Texas A&M, especially if A&M's offering up $75 million contracts. But Joe Moorhead, he has a chance to have a good start because of the team left behind, and that'll be something to build on for sure.
All right, number three thing you learned today at SEC Media Days.
Well, I'll cheat a little bit with the third one. I'm going to give you a two-parter, and it is Nick Saban. It's Alabama, so it's bigger with Bama, I guess. So part A is that the quarterback controversy apparently was created by us, the media, not by the fact that Tua went in there at halftime and helped lead Alabama to a national championship after replacing Jalen Hurts. So the media created the quarterback controversy. But also, Nick Saban has talked about expanding the SEC schedule in the past, and I am a proponent of a 9-game conference schedule instead of 8, especially with other power conferences playing 9-game schedules around the country. But the fact that Nick Saban talked about expanding the conference schedule to 9 or 10 games and only playing power conference opponents and talking that up for the fans, that will get something. That's something that will get fans of both Alabama as well as other SEC schools to say, hey, he's sticking up for us. There may be some ulterior motives there. Alabama's better equipped to play an all-power conference schedule. But that was still noteworthy today that he brought up scheduling. And I did wonder going into media days, would there be some kind of big topic? Because at the meetings in Destin, we had the grad transfer rule that would come up. We started the gambling talk. So that was one that came out of today, Nick Saban talking about expanding the SEC schedule, which has been talked about in the past and then has been shut down.
Josh Ward, WNML radio with us from Knoxville in Atlanta at Josh_Ward.
Josh, Coach Pruitt had been asked about the quarterbacks, and he mentioned, well, two of the guys have 15 extra practices, talking about the two guys, McBride and Garantano, that are already on the roster. And he said all four guys are going to get some kind of a look this fall, but we want to whittle things down, I think is the way he said it, pretty quickly. What do you think ultimately happens at the quarterback spot?
Yeah, well, and I'd say pretty quickly is right, because I think that's just talking up the guys going into camp. But I think we all know that it's Jarrett Garantano, who is one of those guys who had the 15 practices in the spring. And I think that's an advantage in some way versus Keller Crist, who's come in the summer. And both quarterbacks offer something. They do. Crist has the experience of playing in the Pac-12. He's a big stature quarterback, which gets tossed around, but that, I think that's legitimate. A 6'4", 6'5", 230-plus-pound quarterback in the SEC, that can matter, and the coaches may believe they know what they have, able to sit in more meeting rooms. He's been with his teammates for the last couple of years, so he has relationships with the guys that are out there on the field, and he does have talent. He does have upside. I think both guys are going to need to improve, and I'd say whichever guy maybe makes more strides at the start of August, I mean, they begin practice in 2.5 weeks from there until September 1st. That's the guy. I think it's a legitimate race. I think Garantano probably has a slight advantage going in, but it's also a very real possibility that we see both quarterbacks on September 1st. Now, remember, a year ago we said that with Garantano and Quentin Dormady. Dormady won the job, but the expectation was that both would likely play. That didn't happen. So whichever guy wins that starting position clearly has an advantage and will have a chance to be the guy the rest of the way.
Josh Ward from Knoxville. So being there in Knoxville, Josh, we were talking a little bit about expectation level from Tennessee fans, having watched Jeremy Pruitt today in season one. What is the expectation level? You're there with the fan base.
Well, it is the summer leading into the season, so optimism is going to arrive and the projected win total will go up by fans, but I think it's been overall pretty reasonable. I think a lot of fans are saying, hey, get to a bowl game in year one, just go 6-6, and most are going to be happy with that. It's not like it's going to be an all-time season if you go 6-6. You're not throwing a parade. You might print up T-shirts. They did that when Butch Jones went 6-6 the first time. But I think it's about, hey, can you get to a bowl game, then go sell that on the recruiting trail. Some fans are going to say, hey, go 7-5, and that's really good just because, again, you start to talk your team up a little bit. You start to talk yourself into, hey, we can win this game. We have a shot against West Virginia. Florida's at home. Missouri's got a lot to prove. But I think most fans are saying, go 6-6. And if that happens, be happy. 5-7 is not the end of the world. Need to build on that. But I'd say the majority are saying 6-6 or 7-5. And then, of course, you have a small percentage that are going to say, hey, 8-4, 9-3, why not? We're Tennessee. But most are being reasonable.
Hey, Josh, we've enjoyed this, man. Thank you for offering up 9 things you've learned in the first 3 days of SEC Media Days. Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, it's been great to be on with you guys. I've had a lot of fun. And, football is getting close, and that's a good sign.
Yep, Josh traveling tomorrow. So appreciate it, Josh. @Josh_Ward.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, Josh Ward, WNML.